I'm curious if our next guest, Ian Leggett, our Sportsnet golf insider, has ever partaken in Stampede, but it might fall right in the middle of golf season, Ian. Have you ever made it out to the West here this time of year?
I have not. Definitely on my bucket list, though.
All right. You let us know when you're in town. We'll get you set. You're going to need a lot of drink tickets and a cowboy hat and some boots. That's about it.
I've actually been hatted.
Really?
Is that the term, the hatted?
Yeah, you get white Stetson.
I did. Yeah.
No, tell us about that. Where were you and how did that go down?
That was during the Wayne Gretzky event. Mike Weir and I, they had a little, we did it on up at the Lewes Center, the Olympic Lewes Center. We had a little event up there to raise some money for Ronald McDonald House, and the mayor came out and hatted Mike and I.
How cool is that? You still have the hat?
Very cool. I still do have the hat.
Okay, so when you come out for Stampede, now you just need boots. You're halfway there.
Perfect.
All right. Hey, we got somewhat breaking news in the last, 12 to 24 hours. Rory McIlroy has ruptured a ligament in his ankle. This just weeks before his title defense of the Open Championship, the British Open as we know it. Devastating news for Rory, but how significant is the injury? Can you speak to this? I know we're not all have MDs by our last names, but this does sound like it's going to cost him some time.
It sounds like it, too. I mean, obviously, hands and ankles, I think, are probably the two worst things. You know, especially, you know, you need to be rotating on that part of your body. So for him to come back is probably going to take a little while, it's going to sound like. And the issue with a lot of injuries that guys have gone through, and I mean, I had to go through this myself, is when you actually come back and making sure that you are 100% healthy when that happens so that you aren't, you know, favoring that or flinching or anything, because then all of a sudden that turns into a technical problem down the road. And I think, you know, Tiger Woods may be getting out of that, it looks like, in the past week. But the injuries, you know, it causes technical problems that, you know, when you go to make your swing that you want to make and it causes pain, there's a flinch in there. And next thing you know, you're making swing changes or you know, different movements in your golf swing to compensate for that. So I think Rory's probably going to do the right thing and probably take as much time off as he possibly needs to make sure he's healthy.
Would it be crazy to suggest he could miss the rest of the season?
It sounds like it. I mean, by the press release, it was, you know, when they use the word long-term, that's never good.
Yikes. It's too bad because we were just coming off these first two majors of the year. You know, the Masters, every big name, even Tiger, I guess, was hanging around for a while, was in the leaderboard. You had Spieth, McIlroy as this sort of emerging who's the best, who's going to be the future of golf. I think people have gotten over the Woods story and are now sort of looking forward to the next generation. You've got Phil Mickelson that, while hot water off the course, has still been a guy that can show up at majors. But we won't have Spieth McIlroy, it doesn't sound like, for the British. That's too bad.
It is, and I think that's what everybody wants. We want to roll back, you know, about two eras in the game of golf. And we want, you know, those rivalries of Nicholas and Palmer, and we want the Snead-Hogan, you know, rivalries. We want that. We haven't had that because Tiger Woods has been so dominant, there is no rival. Phil Mickelson was never able to step to the plate and challenge him when he needed to. We didn't see, you know, the two biggest players in the game during that period of time really go head-to-head and just, you know, playing in the final group of a major coming down the stretch on 18. It never really happened like the days of, you know, even Nicholas and Watson. Those type of major championships where the best players in the game at that particular time were just going, you know, toe-to-toe on the final day. And, you know, there's so many guys in there right now. Like, we don't need, you know, we all want the Jordan-Rory battle, but I think you can put other guys in that mix. You know, we've got Justin Rose and we've got Jason Day that are guys that inevitably, if we get a matchup with two or three of the best four or five players in the world going into the final day on Sunday, it's going to be fantastic.
Well, and you know what? We're going to have two Canadians in the field, which is outstanding, at least to two Canadians, as David Hearn lost in heartbreaking fashion yesterday in a playoff at the Greenbrier, and Graeme Dillette, he was a couple strokes off 2 weeks ago from winning his first tournament. It's a good little time here for Hearn and Dillette. Even Dillette this week, while he wasn't in the playoff, he was right there, another big payday, and he's back into the top 50. This is a great turn of events in the last couple of weeks for the Canadians.
It is. And, you know, David, obviously, this is how he played his way into the British Open last year, was at the John Deere. And for him going into a week that last year he came so close to winning that he's got an opportunity to go into this week playing so well again. We're going to have to wait to see how that plays out. But obviously two guys that are finding their form heading into a major is pretty exciting. And then obviously the following week being the RBC Canadian Open, it's going to be fantastic for Canadian golf fans.
Ian, with Dillette's fourth place finish at the Travelers last week and Hearn's tied for second at the Greenbrier this week, both guys get an invitation to the Open. How does St. Andrews set up for these two guys?
Well, you know what? I think, you know, David surprised a lot of people the way he played. He made the cut at the British Open last time. So it's such a crapshoot, I think, with that, because, you know, so many players, especially, you know, Graham and David haven't had a lot of experience on British Open style golf courses. So, you know, and the weather changes and everything, it's a mental challenge as that week starts. And the more times you've been through that process of understanding different weather conditions, and really, inevitably, going to the first tee, expecting the worst to happen, and how you mentally do that. We saw meltdowns like we witnessed at Chambers Bay with a number of players that were already, before the first tee went in the ground on Thursday, guys were losing their minds. They weren't mentally prepared, and that is the reason why we saw Jordan Spieth win that golf tournament. He was prepared before the tournament started for the worst thing to happen. And so, therefore, he wasn't stressed when it actually did happen. So, and this is what goes on at a British Open. You need to be prepared for stuff like that. And, you know, I think it doesn't really matter, to tell you the truth. I mean, Graham Dillette is such a fabulous ball striker. If he can putt well, this is the missing factor. In fact, it's a missing factor for some reason with both these players, is that putting is the differentiating factor between being the best player in the world and being where they are. Right now, Jordan Spieth and Graham Dillette have the exact same stats, greens in regulation and total driving on the PGA Tour, the two factors, and then you throw in putting, and right now Graham Dillette is not even in the top 50 players in the world, and Jordan Spieth is number one. So I think that when you look at that, or number two in the world, I think when you look at that, that's the factor that's going to help these guys really break through, especially a guy like Graham Dillette, who's such an unbelievable ball striker.
One final thought on St. Andrews and just, you know, the Open Championship in general. I mean, there's certainly a luck quotient here. You could have guys teeing off in 20 degrees Celsius with no wind, and then 4 hours later, guys teeing off in you know, gale force winds and rain coming in sideways. I mean, you do have to get some breaks there more than the other three majors. Is that fair to say?
No, it's absolutely fair. I remember one year Rod Pampling was leading the tournament after the first round. I think he shot 66 or something like that. And the next day he goes out and shoots 84, 85, just in the most wicked conditions you've ever seen. So, and he got an afternoon draw that day. And the thing with the British Open, because there's so many players in the field and it is so spread out, that the tee times are, you know, literally guys are playing all day long, you know. So there's no two tee start where guys, you know, you're getting both sides of the draw are playing. So it is a huge factor over there. And unfortunately, you know, you never want luck to play a factor in who wins or loses, but it's inevitable that it's going to happen in some round or another at the British Open that someone's going to get a bad break.
Finally, just a thought on the RBC. This is our big national PGA Tour event. I know there's been a lot of people in Calgary that have gone way out of their way to support the Champions Tour event here. We'd love to get it out here at some point down the road. I don't know if there's a course yet for it. But that said, a great Canadian contingent is expected. There always seems to be. But tell us about the field thus far.
They had an incredibly strong field already, I think, you know, especially with Bubba Watson signing last week to actually tee it up. I think the field is very, very strong. So, you know, I think the Canadian Open we've talked about it over and over again. It needs to find a new date that's not behind the British Open. It inevitably is the worst date that you could possibly have on the PGA Tour when you're trying to have a strong field. Guys just don't want to hop on a jet and fly 5 or 6 hours overnight to play in a golf tournament. So I think there's a lot of factors. And if they can move away from that particular date to a more central date, maybe following a tournament that's in Texas, for instance, then that would add to being able to move the event around the country, which I'm a big proponent for. I think that would be fantastic if we could start having a Canadian Open in Alberta and BC and, you know, and moving it out east even. So if you had a U.S. central location where it's easy for guys to get to, we could start moving it around. But until that happens, it's, you know, it's always going to have to be maintained on the East Coast just to, you know, afford those guys the luxury of being able to at least try to get there. I know that RBC has a jet that they charter for players to make it as easy as possible to get here overnight. So, but inevitably it's going to be a difficult date always following the British Open, but RBC's done a pretty good job so far in creating a pretty strong field this year.
Never thought about the time zone stuff. That's it's absolutely accurate when you think about it, but it hadn't even crossed my mind. If you're trying to fly people from, you know, Scotland to BC, that's even makes it less appealing. It didn't even cross my mind. I appreciate your insights, Ian. We should enjoy this the next couple weeks, and hopefully we've got a strong Canadian showing to talk about in a few weeks' time when St. Andrews is hosting the world's best.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, guys.